We continue with Masachas Beitza Daf Tes Vav and Aleph. We're going to begin about six lines from the top of the page of a low sandal Masumar. The mission on the previous Amud was listing different things that may not be sent on Yom Tov as a gift. So one of the things that it says in the mission that you cannot send is a sandal hamasumar, which means a sandal with spikes. This may not be sent as a gift on Yom Tov. So says the Gemara, sandal hamasumar, my time alone. What is the reason why such a sandal with spikes cannot be sent? So says the Gemara, mishum maisa shahaya, because of a particular incident that occurred on Shabbos. So Rashi tells us that we can find this particular incident in the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Samach Amud Aleph. The Gemara over there tells a story about a group of people who hid in a cave in order to escape persecution. And when they were discovered, they ran out of the cave, and because some of them were wearing sandals with very sharp spikes, so certain inhabitants of the cave were actually killed. And in order to commemorate this very tragic episode, so there was a gezeira that no Jew should wear a sandal masumar, a spiked sandal, on Shabbos or Yom Tov. And so therefore, since it cannot be worn on Yom Tov, therefore it has no use on Yom Tov, and therefore it cannot be sent on Yom Tov. Continues the Gemara, Amar Abaye, sandal masumar, regarding such a sandal with spikes, also l'na'alo, as we just mentioned, one is not permitted to go ahead and to wear it on Shabbos or Yom Tov for the reason that we mentioned, umutu l'taltalo. However, it is permissible to go ahead and to move it on Yom Tov or on Shabbos, because Rashi says the kelihu, because still is a kli. This is something that, even though there is a special reason why you cannot use it, it still has a function, an inherent function as a shoe, and therefore it is permissible to move it, letzarach gufo, which means if you want to use it for another purpose other than wearing it, or letzarach makomo, if it's in a place and you need that place. So under these circumstances, you are permitted to move it. In other words, it does not have all the stringencies of something that was truly muksa, because it did not have a shem kli at all. Continues Abaye, asur lanalo mishum maisa shahaya. It is prohibited to wear it because, again, it's because of this maisa shahaya, this event that took place. Umutu lataltalo, but it is permissible to move it, midikatani, from the fact that it says in our Mishnah, ein mishalchin, it says that you cannot send it, the isa kadai tachatzel lataltalo, because in fact, you would think that it is prohibited not only to send it, but even to move it. So hashel lataltalo asur mishalchin ibai. So if you're not even permitted to go ahead and to move it, so would you need to tell me that you cannot send it as a gift? I would know, of course you can't send it, because you can't move it. So the fact that the Mishnah tells us that the isser is l'shalcha, the isser is to send it, so this clearly implies, says Abaye, that it is permissible to move. And again, as we're saying, you're permitted to move it, as Rashi says, because it is a kli, because it has an inherent function. And although you're not to wear it on Shabbos or Yom Tov, it is not considered to be muksa mamish. Continues the Gemara and comments on the next section of the Mishnah, which said, v'lo min al she'enu tafur. It said in the Mishnah, you cannot send a shoe that was not sewn. So says Gemara Pshita, obviously you cannot send such a shoe, because since it is not sewn and you can't sew it on Yom Tov, it has no function, and therefore it's muksa. So says the Gemara, l'nitzvacha de'afagaf de'nokit b'sike. Says the Gemara, no. The Mishnah has to tell us you can't send it because it is partially attached with sike, which means with wooden pegs. And so even though these shoes are not completely sewn, since they were partially attached, so perhaps you would have thought that it has some function and it could in fact be sent as a gift, says the Mishnah, it may not. The Mishnah then continues, as you recall, with Rabbi Yehuda. Says Rabbi Yehuda, Omer af lo min alavan, one cannot go ahead and send a white shoe, because it still requires an additional ma'ase uman. It requires some professional work in order to prepare it for a person to actually wear it, because people do not wear white shoes. So the Gemara now quotes a brisa that elaborates on this line in the Mishnah. Tanya, it was taught in a brisa, Rabbi Yehuda matir b'shachar. Rabbi Yehuda says that it's permissible to go ahead and to send a black shoe, v'osev alavan, but it is prohibited to go ahead and to send a white shoe. Why? Because it requires a clump of dirt, of earth, which will assist in the process of blackening the shoe. And so therefore, since it is not yet completely processed, it has not been, the manufacturing process has not been completed, so therefore it is prohibited to go ahead and to send a min al alavan. Rabbi Yossi says, even a black shoe may not be sent, because even though it's been blackened, it still cannot be worn in that state. You still have to go ahead and smoothen it. Now, it sounds over here like we have a machlokes between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda as to whether or not you can send a black shoe. But the Gemara says, velo plige, that really Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi are not arguing. Marki asre, yamarki asre. That each shita is following the custom in his particular place. How so? Ba'asri demar bisvil asachas. In the place of one of them, namely Rabbi Yehuda, so bisra, which means the side of the hide, the flesh side of the hide, was lasachas in the inside of the shoe. And so therefore, it was not necessary to go ahead and to smoothen this area because it would not be visible from the outside. However, ba'asri demar bisra liel. However, where Rabbi Yossi lived, so they used to wear the bisra, again, the flesh side of the leather was facing on the outside. And so therefore, before it would be worn, one would have to go ahead and smoothen it, Rashi says, because there were bumps and it didn't look even. And therefore, the shoe was not fully prepared. It had not been fully finished and completed. And so therefore, to Rabbi Yossi, you cannot send it in that state. So really, the Gemara is saying that conceptually, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda agree that you can only send a shoe that has been fully manufactured and is ready for use. And the reason why they argue about a black shoe that has not been smoothened is because where Rabbi Yehuda lived, they did not in fact have to go ahead and smoothen the shoe at all, because the flesh side of the hide was worn on the inside. And where Rabbi Yossi lived, they did have to smoothen it because the flesh side was worn on the outside of the shoe. The Gemara now continues and comments on the last line in the Mishnah. The Mishnah concludes by saying, Zeh HaKlal, this is the general rule, Koshini Osin Bo Miyamtif, anything which what? Which can be worn, which can be used on Yamtif, may be sent. So says the Gemara, Rav Sheshe Shara Lahula Rabbanon L'Shadurei Tfilin B'Yomatava. Rav Sheshe has permitted the rabbis to go ahead and to send Tfilin on Yamtif. So Amalei Abaye, Vanan Tanan, so Abaye said to Rav Sheshe, how could this be? After all, we learned that our Mishnah, Koshin, the Osen Baba Yamtif, Mishalchanosa. The only things that you can send on Yamtif, things that can be worn on Yamtif. And obviously, we don't wear tefillin on Yamtif. So, how then can you send it as a gift? So, Hochi Kamar. So, the Gemara says that this is how we understand the Mishnah. Koshin, the Osen Baba Chol, Mishalchanosa Baba Yamtif. Anything which could be worn in that state, even on Chol, even on a weekday, can be sent on Yamtif. The fact that I can't wear it on Yamtif, so that per se does not disqualify me from being able to send it on Yamtif. But it has to be something where in its present state it is now wearable, it is usable. And so therefore we can understand why Rav Sheshe has permitted the Rabbanan to go ahead and to send tefillin on Yamtif, even though we don't wear tefillin on Yamtif, but they are prepared, they are ready to be worn in that state on a day of Chol. Rashi over here raises an interesting question. If this is true, the way the Gemara is concluding right now, that according to the Mishnah you can go ahead and you could send anything which has a use, even if it's not of use on Yamtiv, so then going back, why can't we send a sandal on Masumar? We mentioned that a spike sandal cannot be sent because there was a gezeirah prohibiting wearing such a shoe on Shabbos and Yamtiv. But since such a shoe could be worn on Chol, so you should be able to send it on Yamtiv, just like you could send a pair of tefillin. So it says, Rashi, umiyu sandal masumar lo. The reason why you cannot send a spiked sandal is the lo lema midashar rabbanon l'shalcho shmami namutu l'nalo. Because one shouldn't say from the fact that the rabbanon say that it is permissible to send it, so therefore we can conclude from here that you're allowed to wear it. When it comes to tefillin, really there's no iser to wear tefillin on Yom Tov. We don't wear tefillin on Yom Tov, but even if a person would mistakenly conclude that he can, so then he'll wear tefillin on Yom Tov. It won't be the end of the world. However, over here, since there's a real iser to wear a sandal masumar on Yom Tov, so therefore, according to the Mishnah, you're not permitted to send it because one would perhaps mistakenly conclude, since it can be sent, it can be worn. And this reason, says Rashi, does not apply when it comes to tefillin. Continues the Gemara and says the following, Amar Abaye, tefillin, hol v'asul yadon. Abaye says, since we are discussing tefillin, name of Humilsa, so we're going to teach something else regarding tefillin. Hayibaba derechot tefillin berosho. If a person was traveling on Erev Shabbos and he was wearing tefillin on his head, b'shokol of chama, and then the sun sets. So we know normally a person, again, doesn't wear tefillin at night, he doesn't wear tefillin on Shabbos. So what does he do in this situation? Meniach yadu aleihem, asher megiyam lebeiso. So he should put his hand over the tefillin until he reaches his house. Says Rashi, why should he do it? Meniach yadav aleihem, shelo yirun v'chacham, so that people shouldn't see it. V'chachamim matir lo lahachnisam liir derech malbush, the avarik lachiyad. Says Rashi, the chachamim permit one to wear them, even though it's really carrying, but since he's wearing it, it's only considered carrying with a shinui kaleachiyad. And why is this? Mishum bizayon. Because what's the alternative? To take the tefillin off and to leave them on the road? That would be a tremendous bizayon to the tefillin. So in order to avoid having to desecrate the tefillin, it's permissible to continue to wear them, but one shouldn't walk in the street with tefillin on Shabbos. And so therefore, that's why it says of here, Meniach yadav aleihem, he covers them with his hands, so at least it won't be seen by others. Continues, Abaye Yoshev, Beis Medrash, tefillin Barosho. If a person is sitting in the Beis Medrash, and he has tefillin in on his head, Bekodesh Alav Hayom, and then Shabbos begins, Miniach yadav aleihem ad shemagia lebeisa. Once again, he should put his hand over the tefillin until he reaches his house. So Rashi points out over here that the Beis Medrash we're talking about is besadeh hayav in mishtamer. We're talking about a Beis Medrash that was in the middle of the field and it was not properly protected. And so therefore you have the same concern as if a person is traveling bederech, that we do not want to leave the tefillin in a place where they will be in a state of bizayon. And so therefore, we say it's best to wear them until you get to your home. But we're not talking, presumably, about a situation where the Beis Medrash is, as probably we're most familiar with, a building which is a protected area, and a person can easily remove his tefillin and put them in a safe place, and they'll be there after Shabbos. So we're talking about a situation where that is not an option. So continues Gemara, Masir Rav Huna Bredi Rav Ika. So Rav Huna Bredi Rav Ika asks the following question. We find the following in Baraisa. If a person is traveling on the road on Erev Shabbos and he has tefillin on his head, and Shabbos begins, so he should cover his tefillin with his hand until he reaches the house that is closest to the wall of the city, and he should leave his tefillin there. Again, if he's sitting in a study hall, as Rashi said beforehand, in a sadeh which is not mishtamer, v'kodesh alav yom, and Shabbos begins, again, until he reaches the house that is closest to the Beis Medrash. So over here, this braisa would certainly seem to contradict Gabaye, who said that a person could wear the tefillin until he reaches its own home. Over here we see, no, you should wear your tefillin until you get to a home that is closest to the wall of the city, that is closest to the Beis Medrash, and in this and as soon as you can, the first opportunity, you should remove the tefillin. So it says the Gemara Lo Kashya. Really, there is no contradiction here. Why? Hod de mintura, hod de lo mintura. The Bryce is talking about a case where the closest house is a house which is protected. It's guarded, and so therefore, to place your tefillin there on the onset of Shabbos would not be, again, a risk in any way whatsoever. The tefillin would be properly protected and would be there after Shabbos. But hod de lo mintura, however, where Abaye says that you should wear your tefillin until you go back to your home, this is talking about a case where the closest home that's referred to in this braisa is not protected. And so therefore, Abaye says better to go home rather than to leave the tefillin in a place where they would not be protected. So says the Gemara, wait a second, if we're talking about a case where this area where he wants to leave his tefillin is not protected, so Mayir Barosho, so why is it then that the case that's mentioned over here talks specifically about a case where a person wears wearing tefillin on his head already. Afilu machton ba'arinami, even if a person, let's say, is traveling on Shabbos, and he finds tefillin that are lying on the ground, he should still go ahead and put them on and bring them to a place where it will be safe. Datnan, as it says in the Mishnah, hamotzi tefillin, if a person finds a pair of tefillin on Shabbos, machnisan zug, he should bring them into the city one pair at a time. In other words, even if you find the pair of tefillin on Shabbos, you're not to allow it to remain in a state of bizayon. But yet the case that's described over here is a person who was wearing tefillin, which seems to suggest that we're not talking about a case where it was in a place which is not mintum or is not properly protected. So rather, says the Gemara, lo kashya, rather we have to say that there's no contradiction, there's no difficulty when comparing the case of Abaye in the Braisa. The braisa, which tells a person to go ahead and to place the tefillin in the house closest to the choma, to the city wall, so that's talking about a house which is protected both from ganvi, from thieves, and from kalvi, from dogs. However, Abaye's case, where he says you should take your tefillin all the way to your home, So that's talking about a case where the closest house is protected from dogs. However, but it is not protected from thieves, and so we're still concerned about the safety of the tefillin. So what's the chiddush here? Perhaps you would have thought, were it not for Abaye, you would have said the following. Perhaps, most thieves in that area are Yisrael Jews. And so therefore, even though Nebuch they steal, but perhaps you would say they are not going to go ahead and desecrate tefillin. And so therefore, since it's meshumar, since it's guarded from dogs, it's safe to leave it there because the only ganovim that are going to find it are likely are the Jews, and they're not going to desecrate the tefillin anyway. Kamash Malan comes along Abaye and says no, that if we're concerned about ganovim, even Jewish ganovim, again, if they're nechshat to steal, then we have to assume as well that it's possible that they're going to desecrate the tefillin. And therefore Abaye says, take them home. Don't leave them at the house closest to the city wall, because even though there are no dogs in the area they're going to take them, we are concerned about the ganovim. And so with this, the Gemara explains that, in fact, there is no machlokes, there is no problem over here between Abaye and the Braisa, that really we're talking about two different cases, that Abaye is talking about a case, once again, where the tefillin are not sufficiently protected in the place where you would like to leave them, and therefore you have to take them all the way to your home. Hadra Naloch Beitza. We now have been zochet to complete the first perek of Masachas Beitza.